Thank you very much, Carol. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the CQS PDP Working Group call on the 7th of May 2013. On the call today, we have Mikey O'Connor, Steve Metalitz, Amir Sadir, Mark Anderson, Marie-Laure Lumineur, Volker Greimann, Jill Titzer, Don Blumenthal, and Alan Greenberg. We have apologies from Avi Doria, Suzanne Prosser, and Christopher George. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Barry Cobb, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Natalie, and thanks all for joining us. We'll do the usual take a look at the agenda and take a pause for statement of interest updates. Okay. And I think what we're going to do, we're going to probably go through this first one fairly fast. The competition and registry services one is, I think, still... yeah, you made it in. You're okay, Alan. I don't think we're done with this one. Isn't this the one that Mark and Rick were going to go work on? Help me remember. This was one where we were thinking we needed some more examples, I think. Oh, Mark's got his hand up. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, hi, Mikey. How's it going? It's Mark.
Just fine.
I agree, and you had asked me to post something. I didn't have a chance to post anything, so my apologies for that. But you know, I do think we need examples here, and I have to be honest. Part of why I haven't posted is I'm having trouble coming up with examples. So I feel like there should be something, but I'm not exactly sure what I should post. What I can provide for examples. You know, I feel like there are some cases where, thick might be preferable, and there are some cases where thin might be preferable. But you know, really what we have right now is just saying that, just acknowledging that there are differences, but not really. We say there are differences and. Having all registries on a level playing field, would paraphrase, having all registries on a level playing field would be better, but we don't really provide examples. So, I apologize for not having provided concrete examples up front, but I do think that's outstanding and missing in the report right now.
Well, tell you what, why don't we take a few minutes? We've got an awful lot of smart people on this call. Maybe they can help come up with some examples to get you started. And the other thing to do would be to post that question to the list and see if other people can come up with some. And let me presume one of two outcomes. Either we come up with a few, and that would be great, or we don't, in which case we could write in the report something along the lines of smart people looked at this and couldn't come up with any, so we're going to declare this moot. But, let's see what some folks have to say. Alan, go ahead.
Okay, I come at this from a somewhat different way. Are we still with me?
Yeah, we're still with you. We've got a lot of noise. Somebody is not muted.
And wrestling with their dog.
Yeah, it sounds like they're swimming underwater. Or
okay.
Something. Natalie, can you tell which line is causing all that?
Whatever it is, it's gone now.
There we go. I fixed it. Go ahead, Dylan.
It's as the conclusion we've come to is it's not clear which is better, or if there are cases where it's better. We applaud innovative business models, that is, someone comes up with something that gives them a competitive advantage that's under their control. It is less appropriate, in my mind, that someone may have a competitive advantage, and we're not sure at this point which it is, because of things mandated by ICANN. So, for things controlled by ICANN, ultimately, and this is one of them, or we wouldn't be having a PDP,
right.
We should not be putting different companies in a position where one might or might not have a competitive advantage over the other. So I think that's an argument for moving towards a level playing field. This is not innovative business models. This is satisfying an ICANN requirement. And we are in a more stable and controlled environment from an ICANN point of view if ICANN sets the same rules for everyone instead of having differentiated rules. So
yeah,
I don't think we need to know what the competitive advantages are or the examples. If there are any and they're mandated by ICANN, that's a bad situation.
Yeah, that's true. So that little paragraph, maybe Marika and the rest can capture some of that in our next draft. I like that idea. Mark, what do you think of that as an approach? Rather than struggling to come up with examples, simply handle it the way that Alan's describing.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. And I think, I'm looking at the charter there, Competition and Registry Services. So the question is, what would be the impact on competition and registry services? Should all registries be required to provide Whois service using the thick Whois model? It goes on, would there be more or less no difference with regard to competition and registry services? Alan makes a good, a good point about a level playing field, but I think we have to answer the question: does doing this create an impact on it? And it could be the answer is no, it doesn't.
Yeah,
right?
I mean that's the point you were trying to make earlier, and I think.
I think the way I read the draft so far is we're saying, it does have an impact, but we're not providing examples. And I think if we don't have examples, then I think what we want to say is that it doesn't have an impact.
Yeah, I think that maybe what we do is we rewrite that paragraph to say something along the lines of, we were unable to identify any impact, blah, 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 and then follow into Alan's point. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the right words for it. Let's pretend we could come up with a very salient difference where thick or thin is better in some way that will help or so.
Will provide the competitive advantage.
Is it appropriate for ICANN to have set that environment up?
Knowingly.
So if we were to come up with the advantage right now, and if thin is a much better business model that will attract more business to the company, we'd be in an awkward position taking that away. Because then we're having effectively unilateral ICANN action impact a business. I don't think we want to strive to find some tiny little advantage or disadvantage. I think not knowing the details is to our advantage right now. It allows us to level the playing field. And I don't think we should agonize over trying to find that specific difference because it hasn't popped up yet, and it doesn't really serve us to have it.
Well, and on the converse side, I think we don't want to avoid trying to find one of those.
Yeah. Well, true,
but the fact that we already have tried... Yeah, that's the key point. Is if it's really hard to come up with one, and Mark's in a pretty good position to be a person who would know about those, and the rest of us can't, which I'm taking as sort of a hypothetical right now, then I think the draft can be reworked to reflect that. I think we certainly don't want to avoid looking for one simply to avoid that awkward situation. But if we've looked hard and we can't come up with one, I think it's perfectly fine to write a report that says we've looked hard and we can't come up with one and proceed from there. So maybe the thing to do, I'm going to wrap this up because I really want to get on to the rest of the agenda, is, Mark, if you could keep working on coming up with some, I think it's important to keep doing that. Put that question to the list as well. Carolyn Hoover is not with us today, but she wrote a note to the list, and let me just read her comment into this conversation so that you can hear it, and so, Mark, you can take that forward. Carolyn writes, I'm curious as to why the last comment, and then she quotes the report, although it is noted that possible requirements for thick WHOIS would affect over 120 million domain name registrations, unquote, was added. I don't see how the number of entities affected has any impact on competition. I think we would need to explain that statement at least. Sorry if I missed the discussion on this point. So I think that's just another piece of this section that we want to highlight and tune up. You know, I think it's the same sort of thing as the point that you raised, Mark, which is we say some stuff that implies we're going to give examples, but then we don't give examples. I think those are drafting errors that we need to fix. But I think the substantive point is to make sure that we know of no examples, especially substantive examples, before we do all that tuning. So I think the puzzler for the week is try and figure out one of those and get that back. And if the answer next week is no, we still haven't got it, then I think we have a drafting course set from this discussion. And, you know, we can turn Marika and Lars and Barry loose on reworking the draft. I'm not seeing any outrage in the queue, so I think we're going to move along here. The next one is accessibility. I can't remember the status of that one. Is that one that we've chewed on enough times that we feel like we're done? Anybody got any strong feelings about that? Alan, go ahead.
I think we decided to change the overall title and leave the rest alone last time.
Oh, that's right. And so we've done that. It's now access to who is data. Right. That's where we're at. Okay, so I'm going to treat that as done. Tentatively, we all get another try to fix anything in here when we see it in the draft of the initial report. But I don't want to chew on ones that we've already chewed on a lot. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. There's one question in there that I think I did raise on the last call as well, but haven't received any further input on, because it was in the comments, I think some argued that having WHOIS data available in multiple locations provides an easier target for misuse and abuse. And I was just wondering if there's any data available to substantiate that that statement. I don't know if there have been any studies or research done in relation to WHOIS data abuse and whether indeed having thick versus thin, whether that makes any difference. If anyone is aware of anything that, you know, we could reference, that would be helpful.
My sense on reading that is that that was more of a sort of security theory-based comment, because in general, you know, the more copies of something you have sprinkled in the more different places, the more possible links in the chain there are to attack, and the weakest link is the one that one goes through. So I'm not sure that this is really a data-driven thought more than it's a theory-driven thought. But Alan, go ahead.
Well, I don't think that's an access issue anyway, but in fact, since all of these are emanating from what we're deeming to be a single definitive source, multiple copies gives you more security. That is, someone playing with one and changing it means you have other copies to verify against. And on top of that, we have so many copies in the world of this information that it's not clear that, you know, this extra one is a significant delta in terms of overall, you know, number of copies and replications.
Yeah.
I think if anything, it's positive, but I don't think it's an access issue anyway.
Yeah, so maybe we just drop this sentence. Because it's a some also argued that type sentence. I could easily see just losing this sentence. Why don't we tentatively lose it for the draft and moving along? Because we could get into angels on the head of a pin in terms of security here and chew on that one. So I'm going to dispose of that one that way. Okay, on to the main event of the day, which is the privacy and data protection draft. So before that, as that gets up on the screen, let me just take another deep, deep bow to those who worked on this draft so hard, and a special tip of the hat to Don for leading us through this effort. And Don, do you want me to hand it over to you? Do you want to walk us through it, or do you want to take a vacation from this and let me stumble through it? How do you want to proceed?
Well, that might be the more entertaining way to go. Don, for the transcript. I'll briefly set it up, but to be honest, I think we all have bashed at this for so long and through a whole lot of iterations, and it might be better to step back and let others just comment. We wrestled for a long time with both issues from a data security standpoint and how they tie into privacy and data protection, and also looking at laws and regulations and frameworks that are in play now and may come into play. The may come into play is a particularly tricky part at times because so much is going on now, both within ICANN and out in the real world. After a lot of going back and forth, I think we came up with a document that we all are comfortable with, but we're aware all along that now it's open to other people's interpretation and opinions.
Well, yeah, but I think it's very helpful to have had those debates because I think as we walk through this, there's a depth of knowledge and understanding of these issues now that we didn't have before. And so,
I certainly agree. I'm not saying that we would completely step back from the process, but I think in terms of going through, it might be better for the folks in the group to be here to address issues as they come up and provide perspectives of on how and why we looked at them the way we did.
Yeah, I there you go. Perfect. All right, so Mark, is this quick, or can I run us through the draft real fast first and then circle back to you? Whichever.
I can go quick. I was actually going to try and provide a little context supplementing what Don said and tip my hat again to Don for his drafting efforts. But I want to mention one of the things in the working group is we recognize that we didn't have the ability or capacity to analyze, every international law, right? So, it's just, that just isn't something we have the capability or the expertise to do. And so that's certainly, outside of our scope or any, reasonable scope for this working group. And the other thing, you see from Don's draft that there's a lot of focus on, data at rest and data in motion, which were important, were continual themes of the working group. So you see that reflected in Don's draft. I was just trying to add a little context there before you proceeded.
Yeah, and actually, I don't want to cut you off on that. And other people who were in this subgroup, if you want to chime in behind Mark and offer your observations too, I think that is very helpful. Instead of me just stumbling through this pretty much cold, I've been observing its progress, but haven't anywhere near the understanding of the nuance in this draft. So if there's anybody else from the subgroup who'd like to offer comments like Mark did, by all means, jump in. Okay, so I don't know quite what to do here. I'm not sure I want to drag us page by page, paragraph by paragraph through this draft. But I do want to sort of force us to read it, because I think that this is either A or D very important piece of our report, and I want to make sure that we give it sufficient review and, you know, sufficient testing. Presumably you've all seen it on the list. It's been out for a few days. This is our first reading, and so I would encourage, I'm debating whether to sync up this thing and force us through it page by page, and I've decided not to do that. But please do, as we're discussing this today, try to give it at least a brief reading, because I think this is a centerpiece of our report, and we need to make sure that we're comfortable with it. Alan, go ahead, and then Steve.
Thank you. A little while ago, I tried. This is a long paper. It goes into significant detail and analysis. And as I was reading various earlier versions of the draft, I was trying to come up with a short statement of what it said, or at least what conclusions it came to. And I have such a statement, which may or may not be acceptable to other people, including Don. But I'm hesitant to read it out right now before other people have a say, but I will if the group feels it's appropriate, or I can send it to the list afterwards.
I tell you what, let's let the conversation proceed for a while. I really want to hear it on the call.
Okay.
But I agree with you that, you know, it'd be good to get sort of an open-ended conversation first, and then circle back to that maybe.
Okay.
So let's save that one. That
call on
like
me when you're ready.
Okay. And if I drift off, don't be shy about jumping back in. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Steve. I'm in favor of Alan reading his summary also. I just wanted to say about the organization of this, because, I mean, it is a long paper, but I think if you look at the first four pages, are really looking at what are the, you know, trying to identify what is the taking a snapshot of the issue in a thin environment, the issue in a thick environment, and then which is, you know, what are the advantages, what are the disadvantages, and is there any significant impact? And I think the conclusion is that there is not a significant impact for either model, either in data at rest or in data in motion. Then I think the second half of this, I see these pages aren't numbered, but the second half of this is about some of the legal issues, and it really consists of a recommendation that some of us think may go outside the scope of this group, but others obviously don't. But it's more directed outward to other entities or other groups that are working on who is issues, notably the experts group and what's going to come out of that, rather than to the output of the working group. So, or the specific task that the working group has been assigned to take up. So, I just think it may seem intimidating to have an 8-page document, but I think if you break it into those two halves, perhaps that's a more useful way of looking at it.
Now, let me stick with you on this for a minute, Steve. One of the habits that we've gotten into in this working group is saying, well, okay, we have recommendations and findings that are specific to our charter, and then we have observations or interesting things that we want to highlight for other people that we're going to put in, I think, in a separate section of the report towards the end so that they're not lost. We keep finding, you know, like the UDRP issue that we identified somewhere back there. Does the second half of this fall in that category? Or you want to react to that?
In my opinion, it does.
Okay.
Again, it's kind of advice to other groups. You know, it has some observations about what might be end up in the RAA and existing policy or procedure on handling who is conflicts with privacy laws. So, yeah, I think that would be, in my view, that's a reasonable way to
go. Okay. Amr, you're next.
Hi, this is Amr. Just a comment on Steve's comment. The impression I really got from the last four pages on what we what I personally admit is probably outside the scope of the working group, but the issue was really, I think, or what I believe to be, that because we because it was very difficult in our work as a working group to come up with all the ramifications, considering all the different laws and the legal jurisdictions. I think this is why we made these recommendations, and or at least we wanted to include them in the report for the privacy and data protection subteam. I think if we had the capacity and we had the ability to analyze everything in detail, which admittedly we don't, I don't think this would have been necessary. So we would have concluded the work of the subteam on this topic as per our charter. But since we don't, I think it's prudent to keep this part of the report included. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. I'm certainly not. I'm really pursuing an organizational, you know, a report structure question rather than a content question. I'm certainly not in any way advocating that we get rid of it. If that was the impression, let me correct that.
No, that wasn't my impression. I'm just trying to highlight what at least my perception of the rationale of including this part, even though it is when you read it, it is kind of out of scope of the working group. But that is true because we were not requested to make any recommendations on how ICANN operates in the future, and that sort of is what is implied in that part of the report. But I'm just trying to at least give my own perception of why this part of the report was drafted the way it was.
Yeah,
and Don can correct me if I'm mistaken on that as well. Thanks.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Don, go ahead. Oh, and Marika, let me go to Don first, and then Marika, you can go. I'm sorry, I missed your hand.
Okay, I was going to wait there, but that's fine. I basically agree with what Amr just said, with one qualification, and this is where I kind of drift a little bit on we're in scope or out of scope. The fact is the recommendations that we say we need other people to look at, we suggest other people look at, to me, in scope, in the sense that if we had these answers, these are the types of answers we would need to do everything in scope. The fact is, we're not equipped to do them. The fact is, I'm a little disappointed that historically they haven't been done. So, yeah, I don't know about whether in scope or out of scope. What I might suggest is that in the process of rewriting and incorporating, we look at the second half and maybe pull pieces of it out in terms of what we all would agree is in scope and then do the recommended action as a appendix section, whatever route we decided to take.
Okay. Marika.
This is Marika. I do believe that based on previous discussions in relation to some of the other sections where we've also come up with some I think we call them observations instead of recommendations, that we said that we may want to create a separate section in the document where we do highlight some of those observations or you know, recommendations that are maybe not within our scope, but we do believe are important to at least put on the radar screen either of the GNSO Council to take action on or you know, be able to refer those to relevant initiatives that are currently ongoing that may benefit from that information. So that may be a way as well as feeding these you know, recommendations or observations into, that we have a section that does list some of the items that we've you know, covered in our conversations and maybe have you know, concrete ideas on, even realizing that you know, they may not be within our mandate or scope to make you know, firm recommendations on, but at least we suggest maybe certain step forwards or at least the direction of where they should be fed to so that they don't go lost, as I do believe valuable work and discussion has been had on these topics. So that may be a way of moving forward on this.
Thanks, Marika. Don, is that a new hand or an old one? I bet it's an old one. Okay. I think it's time for Alan's summary. You want to read it now, Alan? We haven't got anybody. Anybody else want to jump in the queue before I do that? But I see nobody in the queue. Yeah, Alan, go ahead.
Well, let me paste it into the chat at the same time.
And
allow people to focus on it.
As Alan is doing that, I want to note that we've got a pretty lively conversation going on in the chat that I think is about, I haven't been able to watch it real carefully, but it's about the previous topic, and so we probably either need to circle back to that and at least summarize it in the transcript here or, again, capture the chat and get it out to the list, because there's a lot going on today in the chat, which is great, but it's hard to keep it all going.
If perhaps people could stop typing for just a moment so that this doesn't roll off the screen. Okay, the main gist, I think, of what it says is that there may be issues with regard to privacy in the future. Perhaps even probably will be issues with regard to privacy in the future. But those issues will apply to other GTLDs as well, and thus will need to be addressed by ICANN. The agreement with the registry, the policies and practices, sorry, I'm going off, I seem to have posted an old version into the chat, so ignore it. I'll fix it later. The registry agreements and policies have allowed registries to address privacy issues with regard to who is. The new registrar, RAA, has provisions which are much stronger and much more supportive of registrars' needs than the older version. The fact that the registrars have agreed to support Thick Who Is says in their perception there is no immediate problem that needs to be addressed. So although privacy may become a substantive issue in the future and should certainly be part of any investigation of replacements of Who Is, it doesn't seem to be a reason to not proceed with Thick Who Is for All at this point.
Okay. Mark
said that I will try to get those words and post them into the chat because Somehow, as I was talking, an old version popped up on my screen. So,
and I'm confused. This is Tim. I'm just confused by the last sentence because it reads different than what I think you said.
It does. And that was an aversion, and there was a not missing in it. So I said, please ignore what I posted. It's wrong.
Okay. So it's not a reason to not proceed.
No, it is not a reason to not proceed. I made some changes in a Word document, and then I cut and paste, and somehow along the way it reverted to an older version. I apologize, and I will try to fix that as soon as I stop talking.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I think that would be good. I'm seeing the queue build, and I'm hoping that the queue is sort of building along the lines of the question I'm going to ask, which is what do other people in the subgroup think of Alan's summary? Of course, anybody can chime in, but I'm especially interested in subgroup members, and we have a couple. So go ahead, Mark.
Thanks, Mike. It's Mark. If I can do, you know, slightly different than what Alan said, one of the things that occurred to me is sort of early in the subgroup, we had discussions around the fact that, you know, certainly, you know, the thick data, you know, thick data in general is a somewhat, you know, hot button topic, right? There's sensitivity around having that data, and you know, so I think, you know, as a subgroup, you know, we recognize that yes, this is a hot button topic, and you know, we recognize that there isn't universal agreement around around this, but then as sort of a subgroup, we tried to focus on, you know, not on the, you know, the controversial aspects of it, but rather focus on what it meant to migrate from a thin to a thick. You know, recognizing the fact that there are existing concerns, and that we're not, as a working group, we're not trying to address those. We're not trying to fix you know, everybody's concerns around who you know, thick who is. What we tried to focus on is what would be the implications of migrating from a thin to a thick registry, and what that means around transitioning the data from registrars, you know, having the authoritative data, to migrating it to a registry, where the registry will also have a copy of that data. So that's sort of, you know, as we're having this discussion, and you know, when Alan was making that summary, thank you, Alan, for doing that. You know, that sort of occurred to me as sort of, you know, those conversations we had early on, and I guess, you know, the full group wasn't part of those conversations. So I thought that was useful background in sort of the focus of the subgroup.
Thanks, Mark. Don, go ahead. I think at the end of Don, unless somebody has something really urgent, I'm going to wrap up this chunk of the agenda, because it looks like there's some revisions that are going to come back next week. But go ahead, Don.
Okay. I just wanted to, I guess, present some other viewpoints. I mean, I appreciate the... Yeah, I think some kind of wrap-up here or summary is really important, if nothing else is a setup for the document. But I'd just like to suggest a couple of things that came up in the discussions as a counter for people to consider. The first is, there are some people, and I'll say I'm one of them, who believes that this it may be an issue in the future. I think what we're seeing, particularly with some CCTLD, suggests that privacy is going to be an issue in the future in the GTLD space. There's no question about that. I think what's happening in the negotiations suggests some recognition of that. I think to say that, I'm agreeing on this, but the other another thought that came out in our talks was that saying this is accurate for all GTLDs is true, but we have to think how much of this paper is focusing on the transition as opposed to also being the blueprint for new GTLD part two, if anybody ever has the guts to try to do this again. And what we say here in terms of should things be thick or thin, well, that's going to apply in the future. So what we say now that applies to all GTLDs, I think, is still in some extent in scope. And I'll hold it there. I've got a bunch of other things, but I think I tipped my hand there. I was trying to be neutral and say what discussions came up, but I said hi a few too many times.
I think it's okay not to be neutral. Here's a thought. It sounds to me like there's a pretty solid draft here. There also sounds to me like there's a preamble draft or an executive summary draft or an abstract draft that's underway that Alan started, what if we lifted at that for today and looked for a revised version of Alan's preamble? Let's call it a preamble for now, but whatever you think is right, for next week. Would that work? Would that be a way to hammer out some of these things? Because I think what's important is to get that distillation done so that people, especially people in the subgroup who've been through these discussions, are comfortable with the wording. And I'll go to Alan to see if whatever he has to say, but then also to see if he thinks that's the right way to go. So go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. I certainly have no problem with changing the may probably to will. Predicting the future is hard, but predicting that no one will care about privacy more in the next few years than they did before is not something I'm going to predict. Privacy is on the table and will continue to be on the table. And that, in fact, is one of the reasons I believe that the transition is a good thing, because when we go to this brave new system in the sky in the future, having transitioned all registries to THIC to begin with, there is a single transition path to move to the replacement, instead of trying to have two parallel transition paths that we architect to happen at the same time, but through very different mechanisms. So that's one of the reasons that I think the very fact that we will be going to something which may be quite different, and heaven help us, may be closer to a thin model than a thick model, it may be something else altogether, whatever it is, moving from a single uniform model across the GTLD space is going to make that transition easier. Thank you.
That last little bit I would capture as sort of an operational advantage of THIC.
Yeah.
Put it in, so anyway, just...
Yeah, it's not a privacy issue, but I wanted to...
Right,
sort of
and it's a good one, and we don't want to lose it, but, I'm not sure.
And I certainly have no trouble changing the verb in the first sentence to something more definitive.
Yeah. Tim, welcome to the gang. What's up?
Oh, thanks. I think that Alan makes a really good point there, and thinking too, just, and not necessarily something that we'd have to capture, but just keeping in mind that, I don't think there's going to be, I think there will be some transition, like Alan has indicated, but I think too it won't be like a one size fits all. I think it's going to be, when we have this many GTLDs in the mix, I think there's going to be some that, are going to have different issues that may press the privacy issue a little bit sooner than maybe others, just simply because of the nature of the TLD. I don't know what it might be, like .bank or something, who knows. So I think that's, another point that, that I don't think it's going to be a single one-size-fits-all for these huge mix of GTLDs.
I think that's another really good operational point that we need to capture. I'm going to draw a line under this now. I think this is a great first read of a great effort. And again, I'm going to belabor the thank yous, because this was terrific work and it's not done. So I'm going to hand that one back and sort of leave it with Don and Alan and the rest to sort of drive us through another iteration based on this conversation today. Don says, gee, thanks, in the chat. Well, there's the old adage, let no good deed go unpunished. So, but my sense, just on the outside looking in, is that we're getting to a close on this, and so if I could lean on you guys one more time and see if we can't come around to that, I think that would be great. Maybe Alan can kind of take the lead in being the rapporteur or drafter of that summary to take a little bit of the load off. Okay, I've lost track. Tim, is that a new hand or an old one? I'm assuming it's old, but if it's new, just...
Oops, it's old, sorry.
Yep, no worries.
There we go.
Okay, we've got just about 10 minutes left, and I just want to introduce you to the cost discussion. I'm not sure... Marika, do you have that goofy draft that I sent out? It's coming. Good. And then the other thing I want to see if I can do, I'm going to grab control of this because I want to sort of walk you through it in pieces. Here's what I was doing. And Rick Wesson and Barry and I had a pretty good call on Friday, but I don't think we're necessarily done. What I did is I wrote a little draft, and I was looking for... So I'm going to zero us in on chunks of this first and sort of say, well, there are sort of two kinds of costs. There are ongoing costs, and then I arbitrarily made the choice of after transition. So that it... Otherwise, you get into this goofy double-entry bookkeeping, which there's before and there's after, and that's too hard. And so this little list is the list that I came up with and we hammered on a bit on the call. So one of the questions to you all, and I'm putting these to you so that we can... this is essentially first read on this as well. We'll visit this again next week and then... feed it into the draft. Are there any other ongoing costs that change, after the transition to thick from thin? So that's one thing. Then there's the cost of the transition itself, and I came up with two chunks, the getting ready, develop the system, and the actual do it part. Again, I've got, are there other costs in either of these buckets, or is there another whole bucket that we need to think about? So that's one question for you all. Then I want to take you to the question across the top, which is I had entities that incur costs. So clearly there are costs, ongoing costs, and conversion costs for registrars and registries. And then there might be costs for registrants and other people who consume Whois data. And so again, the question is, are there any more buckets into which to throw these costs? Rick is really good at keeping me from overanalyzing things. And so one of the things that we came up with, which I think is a good idea, but I want to try this out on you, is that rather than coming up with dollars and cents numbers, it's going to cost $45 to do something in here. We started talking in terms of what are these costs comparable to in today's world so that people can, from their own perspective, sort of look at this and say, oh, it's like this other thing. Okay, well, I know what that other thing is from my perspective. So I have a rough guess as to the magnitude of these costs. So that was what we... started to focus in on, and so I'm going to take you over to a notes chunk first, and then I'll open the whole thing up again. Whoop, that was a little extreme. Hopefully you can read this. One of the things that we started talking about was sort of what can we compare this transition to, and one of the things we arrived at was, well, this is a lot like the transition from the original RRP to the PP. These are the underlying protocols that are used. And way back in the early days, the protocol for transferring data between registrars and registries was RRP, and that got revised quite a while ago into EPP. And that was a pretty big deal transition at the time, and it's our sense that this one is smaller than that, simpler than that. Another kind of comparable that we came up with was, well, this is like starting to escrow your data if you're a registrar or a registry. It's kind of on the scale of one of those projects. So if you're if you've lived through one of those, that might be a way to get a sense of how much it would cost you to do this. And then one of the things that I was getting all into the details on, and Rick sort of yanked me out of my rabbit hole and said, well, you do have to bear in mind that running a Whois server is a lot less complicated than running the front or back end web servers for either a registry or a registrar. This is a much simpler system than that. So those were some sort of broad scoping, scaling kinds of things. Then when we went into the actual costs, and now this is going to become an eye chart, and I think I may let you control this on your own. So I'm going to give you back control. But what we said was, for escrow costs for registrars, there's probably no change, because registrars are going to have to escrow the data anyway. There may be, and that's why the no change has a question mark behind it, there may be a change for the registries, but we don't think it's real big, because this isn't actually that much data. And Volker's pointing out that registrar escrow is free to the registrars, right? But, and so that's a good point. So still no change, he said, dodging a bullet. Another is the port 43 costs, and there, given the changes in the new RIA, for registrars this would be eliminated, and for registries this, we decided, would be incrementally higher. For web access, the web delivered Whois, this would be a negligible change for either. Frederick, you're right. It's paid for by ICANN. And so the conclusion that we wound up with out of all this was the ongoing costs don't change very much. One of the things to add to the mix of questions for the group is if we've missed one that changes a lot. But, we were hunting for big cost changes and we couldn't find one. When we got to the transition costs,
Mikey, may I interrupt it, Alan?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think what you've lost in the port 43 is with the new RAA, it's not only you're eliminating port 43 for these GTLDs, that's the last GTLDs that it's necessary for. And I suspect for most registrars, not having to run that system, which has been the subject of various sorts of criticism and targets, makes their life easier. How much it actually reduces out-of-pocket dollar costs, I don't know. But removing one of the
whole system
annoyances from their life, I think certainly has to be considered a plus.
Yeah, that's a very well-taken point. I like that point a lot, because by being able to eliminate a whole system like that, that that does make a big difference.
And it's one which has been subject to scrutiny. It's been subject to criticism. It's subject to, you know, little operational anomalies end up, you know, making you potentially in violation of the RAA. It's a whole rat's nest which will be gone.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like
I'm
that.
I'm speaking not being a registrar, but, you know, I can't imagine it's anything other than a relief.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'll take that as a wholly embraced friendly amendment. And that's the kind of thing that this is a first reading, and we're running real close to the top of the hour, so... that's the kind of thing I want us to dig into a little bit in a more substantive conversation on the next call. But let me just scream through this last little bit and then leave it for conversation on the list. One of the scoping things that we said is one way to think about this transition is that in terms of developing the system, it's less than adding a TLD for either a registry or a registrar. And that the stuff that's in the matrix there is just our sort of first guess. And the one tricky bit is that in the develop transition costs, those are sentences. So similar to a startup escrow project is the scoping sentence. And similar to transition from RPP to EPP, but much easier, cheaper, is the sentence there. That doesn't come through in the format real well. And with that, you've had your first reading. Alan, is that an old hand or a new one?
No, that's a new hand, actually, but a very short statement.
Cool. Okay, go for it.
It dawns on me as we're talking, and I'm going to propose a possible implementation, which is not necessarily our job. But I want to throw it out to demonstrate that this may not be as onerous as one has described. It dawns on me that a possible vehicle for the transition is whenever it's time for Registrar X to transition their data, a copy of the escrow data goes to the registry. That is the very data set that is being used to escrow, which is in a format the registries are already familiar with, because I'm presuming they use the same format.
Right. There you go. Implementation possibility.
Goes to the registry. That puts zero implementation cost on the registrars, other than turning off, you know, certain functions at the right time, you know, once the registry confirms they got the data. And that may be a stupid way of doing it, but it demonstrates there may well be vehicles for doing this which are not nearly as onerous as some people have described. Just a thought.
Yeah, cool idea. Tim, I think you get last word today.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily a stupid idea at all, Alan, but I just wanted to ask, though, what's the next step with this? If we're going to, like, then take this and say, you know, take it to the registrars and to what registries we can and say, do these comparisons make sense? What are we missing here? You know, other things that we should take into account? Or
this is
the feedback we've had so far is sufficient?
I think what we do, the steps I was thinking is answer my more question marks, my other question marks question this week on the list, just to make sure that I haven't missed anything huge. Come up with bright ideas like Alan's and others. But this document will go away, and it will get translated into a narrative for this section of the report as its next drafting step. And so the thought I think I'm having at the moment, although Marika can course correct me here, is let's stare at this for a week and chat about it on the list. Let's go through it again, come up with more of these ideas. That'll give Marika and Lars and Barry some pretty good meat for the bones of a draft section of the report, and then that draft can go out to the registries and registrars for a reality check. But certainly this document wouldn't make any sense to anybody unless they've been talked through it. So it certainly doesn't stand on its own. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I seem to be in summary mode this week, but I think the target that we want for this section is to be able to have a summary which says the costs do not appear to be onerous compared to the profit margins to both registrars and registries for handling the domains in question. I mean, clearly, if it's going to cost a registrar or registry 3 years worth of revenue to do the transition, it's out of the question. And
right.
Our target is to have a high level of comfort that it's not an outrageous cost compared to the profit margins associated with the TL, with the domains we're moving.
I think on that note, we're 2 minutes. Whoa, we're way over the end of the hour. This has been a great call, but we're going to end it. So, Natalie, we can end the recording, and thanks all. I think we're chugging right along. We'll see you in a week, and that's it for me.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thank you very much, Carol. You may now stop the recording.
Okay, thank you. I'll stop the recording.